Who believes that all the Bible is true? Can I see your hands? Oh, good. Except we don't want to say that the words of Satan are God's truth, right? We know that. You know, he's either a liar or he takes half the truth to lead people away from God. But the rest of the Bible, we believe, is God's truth. It's God's word to us that we might know him better and know how to conduct our lives and behave. Did you know that the Bible says that every Christian has a spiritual gift? How many of you believe that's true? Yeah. So do you know what your spiritual gift is? Now it comes down to where the rubber meets the road. Because my sense is that we know it's the Bible, we know it's the truth, but we may not have taken it to ourselves and learned how to apply it. So the question I want to raise is, what is your spiritual gift? And if you know what your spiritual gift is, that's good. In March, this is the two-minute commercial, okay? So just bear with me. In March, I want to do a seminar for you, if you don't know. And it's from, we're going to start at 10, and we'll have lunch together, and then it'll go till 2. And there's an inventory that you can take, and you can try to learn what your spiritual gifts are. And it's a great beginning place. So I hope you'll plan on that. I don't know the exact date yet, but we're working on that. In the meantime, I invite you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 1 through verse 13, to get an eye started on understanding God's gifts to us. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? These are the words of Holy Scripture. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. And to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. For even as the body is one, and yet has many parts, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. So ends the reading of God's word. Will you pray with me? Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable unto thee, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It's important to understand, first of all, that only Christians have spiritual gifts. Look with me again at verse 3 in this passage. Paul says, "Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Now, how does that tie into this whole idea of spiritual gifts? Why does Paul say this when at the very beginning he says, we're going to talk now about spiritual gifts? Why is this verse here? It's important for us to understand that Paul is distinguishing between those who are Christians and those who are not. He's trying to, without saying it in so many words, describe the fact that there's a difference between spiritual gifts and natural talents. All of us have natural talents, things that we just do naturally. It's the way we're made. It's how we are put together. And so we approach life itself differently than others might. Excuse me. Talents, everybody has. But only believers have spiritual gifts. Now, usually what happens is those talents that we have before we are Christians wind up turning into or helping us develop the spiritual gifts that God makes, that God gives us, okay? Let me give you an example. If you know a car salesman and he's really good at his job, in fact, you've bought the last 5 cars from this guy, he's so good, and you like him, he's a friend, it's because he knows how to get next to you and talk to you and help you figure out the kind of car that you're looking for. And he says, you know, I don't have that on the lot, but I can get it for you tomorrow. And he goes out of his way and he makes it happen. And you like the guy so much and he's so good at his job that you've bought the last 5 cars from him. You know people like that? My dad bought cars from the same guy for 20 years. And when I went off to college and came home, he sold me my next car. There are people like that. Great salesmen. They can take that skill and that ability and do great things with it. It's their talent. But when God brings you into the family, when he welcomes you into the kingdom, those talents now can be used as spiritual gifts. It's an amazing thing to see how God takes who we are and then develops it in new ways and even greater ways and helps us become even more than we were. All the gifts, it's important to understand, as well as all the talents, are from God. Look with me, and I just want us to read verses 4, 5, and 6. If you still have your Bibles open, it says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons." This Wednesday is Valentine's Day. Everybody know that? I'm your calendar for the moment. It's also Ash Wednesday. I don't think it ever happens that those two events have come together. It's got to be rare. I don't ever remember that being the case. But it's curious to me, and how beautiful in a sense. The idea of Ash Wednesday is that it's the beginning of the Lenten season. It's that time when we prepare for Christ's resurrection and ascension, and we begin thinking about all that Easter is, from the Passover meal or the entering into Jerusalem, Palm Sunday. This is the beginning of that time when we remember all that God did for us in Jesus Christ, all that we have. And it's a time when some traditions decide that they will give something up because it is a reminder of the incredible sacrifice of God for us because his love is so great. It's the time for Valentine's Day when we wonder, okay, what am I going to give to the person who is special to me? What am I going to set aside for them? What spiritual gift has God given us? And should we be mindful and realize what kind of a great gift it is? Not only Christ on the cross, not only his power over death, but also the gifts that he has poured into us because he loves us so much. But it's important for us to also understand that it's for our common good. Look with me at verse 7. Verse 7 says, "But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." If you have your own Bibles, I want to invite you to just underline that phrase, "for the common good." In other words, whatever gift Susie has over here, it is used in the kingdom of God so that everybody else will be blessed, so that everybody else will be able to spiritually prosper, okay? So the challenge for each of us is not only to know our gift, but to understand how important it is to apply that gift in the church, in our relationships with our brothers and sisters. It's an in-house kind of thing, for the most part. There are some gifts that are used outside the church. The gift of evangelism is certainly that kind of a gift. And there's others. But the important thing for us to understand is that it's intended to build the body up. And the more we use our gifts, the healthier the body of Christ becomes, the better we are equipped as a congregation to live and breathe and serve the living Christ. There's different types of spiritual gifts, and I just want to touch on this a little bit. One of the very obvious ones are the spiritual gifts of edification. Those who have the gift of teaching, those who have the gift of prophesying, those are the gifts that are given to individuals so that the body of Christ can be built up, can understand the scriptures more, can understand how this whole thing called Christianity is supposed to work. And we value those individuals. There are also people who have spiritual gifts that are designed to nurture us. I think those who have the gift of works, or the gifts of discernment, or even the gift, the spiritual gift of pastor. Let me give just a couple of examples of what I'm talking about. Several years ago, in one of the churches I was pastoring, there was a young gal who had the spiritual gifts of works. I do not have that spiritual gift. You can ask Patty about that. Typically, we would have a church dinner, and then after the dinner was over with, I would be talking to people, okay? I would be just visiting with the folks, and the people who would be cleaning the room after the meal would say, "John, could you stand over there, please, so that we can sweep around you?" You know, I swear, I'm sure that somebody could actually hand me a broom and I'd lean on it while I talked to whoever it was that I... It's not my spiritual gift. You understand that, okay? Now, don't misunderstand. I should still be cleaning when I need to. But it's not my strength. It's not my... I don't see dirt at every corner. You understand? It's just, I can obtuse, walk right by it. This young gal in this church was the kind of person that was always doing good stuff for other people. There was a guy in our church who, his name was Tom. He was a heavyset fella, and he had a big heart. He loved God, and all of that was true. He was a musician, really talented person, but he was having really bad health conditions. And so the church was trying to take meals into him because they knew that he wasn't able to do a lot of cooking. So this gal fixed him this super good meal and took it over to him. And when she opened the door and walked into the kitchen to put it in the oven to heat it up, there were dishes every place. He didn't have the spiritual gift of works either, okay? I'm just saying. They were everywhere, dirty dishes. You know what this gal did? She started cleaning his kitchen for him. And then she got on the phone and called a friend of hers who also had the gift of works, a guy, and he came over because Tom, who was so big, would sat in one of the chairs and busted it. And he didn't really have a place even in the kitchen to sit down. So she got his chair fixed. She cleaned the kitchen. And then she went to the living room and the bedroom and the bathroom. She cleaned his house for him. And the whole time he was embarrassed, of course. He was ashamed. She said, no. I'm glad to do it. This is what I do. That's the spiritual gifts of works. And it's a beautiful thing. You'll know those people because they're the ones that are in the kitchen all the time. They're the ones that are doing those kinds of good deeds. They're precious and dear. The gift of discernment is also a spiritual gift. I do not have that one either. Okay? We're running down the list that I don't have. Patty has that gift. And I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. Another church, years ago. It was actually before we were married. I was pastoring these two little rural churches, and it was during the month of January. Our college had an intersemester program, and I got to go to this church and to pastor. Patty actually went as a Christian education person in another church in Nebraska while I was in South Dakota. When that month was over with, or during that month, first of all, one of the members of the church had gone to the mission field in Mexico, and he came back and he had slides and he showed pictures and he told about all the churches and everything. I was so impressed with this guy. I mean, I just thought he was wonderful. And so on occasions, Patty would be able to come with me, and there was a couple in the church that would house her for the weekend, and I had a little trailer that I stayed in. And the whole time there, I was saying, you've got to see this. He's going to show it again on Saturday, and I really want you to see this guy and see the slides and hear what he says. And so we went to it, and afterwards, now keep in mind, we're not married yet, so Patty being the shy, reserved person, I was going, wasn't that fantastic? Didn't you think that was wonderful? She didn't say anything. I mean, I went on and on about how wonderful this guy was. And she said, no. I said, tell me what you're thinking. And there was this long pause. And it was, I think I scared her. That's the honest truth. Finally, she said, I felt nervous. Oh, you shouldn't have felt nervous. He's been to the mission fields. He's done these wonderful things. It's terrific. And she said, I felt very uncomfortable. I said, what are you talking about? She said, I don't know. I just didn't feel right there. Well, about 4 months later, he was arrested. Because he was the pimp for a ring of teenage girls who were prostitutes, teenage girls who were prostitutes. I was totally oblivious, but somehow Patty picked it up. That's the spiritual gift of discernment. We need to make sure that those people are recognized in the church for the gifts that they have. I think it's important that we understand who those people are and listen to them closely. And I've seen her do this several times over the years. The common good. These are people who help us. One of the other styles of or types of gifts is those that are miraculous gifts. And you all have to decide for yourself. There are some people and some churches, and maybe you've been raised this way, that say that those gifts were only for the age of the apostles, that one generation, and when they were gone, that's it. I personally don't buy that. I think the reason it's in the scriptures is to educate us and to help us understand what gifts are available. But I will say this about the spiritual gifts of, for instance, the speaking in tongues thing. You've all heard that term, speaking in tongues. The fancy word is glossolalia. Here's what I know about that gift. There are some who would say that you, if you can't speak in tongues, you've not received the Holy Spirit. I don't buy that. If you look at the book of Acts, when the apostle Peter is there and the Spirit of God comes on all of those apostles, they begin to speak in languages that are not their own, not natural. And the thing that happens is all these people who have come into Jerusalem for that special event are there, but the common language among all the people is Greek, because that was the business language of the culture. But they begin to hear the message of Jesus in their own language. And because they do, they were able to become Christian, be baptized, and then go back out from there into all those churches, into all their nations, and the word of God began to spread in an incredible fashion. Later on in the book of Acts, you see another evidence of the speaking in tongues. And the only time you see it is when these people who are Gentiles, not Jews, have received Christ and they begin to speak in these miraculous languages. And the Apostle Peter says, I know you're Gentiles, but you've got this incredible gift. And you've been baptized and you've received the good news of God's love in Jesus Christ. Welcome to the family. And he has to go back to Jerusalem and explain what he did to the church because it was out of step with everything else. But the reality was that all of a sudden the gospel went from this Jewish subgroup to a worldwide religion. And the way that God could prove that this is his hand at work was through this gift of speaking in tongues. Now, maybe you have a different understanding of that. I understand. I appreciate that. I'm just telling you where I'm coming from. I think it's important that the Bible includes these kinds of gifts because they're all needed in the body of Christ, that we can be lifted up, that we can be more than we are, that we can understand what God is doing in our midst. So there's all these different gifts for all of us. I just want to take a moment and step aside and ask you to think about something else. Have you ever thought about how many people it takes to put on a worship service? Oh, I know, I'm up here. I know, Angela, Matt, and him do the praise stuff. Okay, I get that. But there's so much more than just that. That bulletin that you have, somebody got up early, early in the morning to print that puppy off so that you could have it. Somebody came in through the week to clean up after us. We're messy. We need it. The people that are back there in the corner that do the audiovisual stuff, you know, they have power over me. They can turn me off in a heartbeat. I'm so glad they're kind. There's all kinds of folks that do all kinds of... Linda Home, out in the exterior room there, the narthex. I think it's called the narthex because it's on the north side of the building. I don't know. I don't understand that term. You know, there's at least two styles of people, I figure. One is, you know, Winnie the Pooh. There's the Eeyore type of person. You know what I'm talking about. You know, you could say, you just won $1 million. I'm so thankful that I... that's wonderful. Did you go to church today? Yeah, I went to church today. Was it a great time? It was okay. Eeyore, right? And then there's Tigger. Wow, it's wonderful to be alive. It's so good. It's so much fun. It's one. That's Linda. Now hear me, folks. You can be an Eeyore when you come through that outer door. When she gives you a hug and smiles, you are different. Thank God for her. Somebody every week brings refreshments. I love you. All those pieces fit together so that we can worship together. And do you understand all of that is done for just 1 hour? All of that effort so that we can have this incredible experience with the living God. All of it's done for us. On top of that, there are ministries on through the week, small group studies, men's group, youth group, ladies group. All of those are ministries that serve the body of Christ so that we can grow, so that we can be more than we are. Do you see that it's not a simple thing, it's complex. And yet the living God who made each of us with our own unique fingerprints, made each of us with spiritual gifts that are unique to us also. It's wonderful that we are a part of this amazing experience. Okay, where am I at? Oh, there's a downside. Downside to spiritual gifts and all these things. Have you ever thought some of these people you don't know about? I mean, you don't even think about the person that made that bulletin for you, or the person that takes your kids to the children's church, or the person that greets you. The only time that we, or the AV folks, the only time that we really think about them is when it doesn't work. You understand? It's when it doesn't work that we notice them. We need to be more thoughtful and prayerful for these folks who give so much of themselves for the kingdom of God. One more side note, and that is in every church, the number of people that have the spiritual gift of evangelism, 2%. Now, you know, if you're a small congregation and there's only 10 people on Sunday and you have the spiritual gift, then it's 10%, but that's a different song, you understand? The issue is, how do we deal with the other 98%? Does that mean then that if you're not one of the 2%, that you don't have to do evangelism? No. We're still, all of us, called to be able to give witness to this wonderful thing that's happened in our hearts and in our lives. And we need to be sure that the good news is going out because we share it. But that doesn't mean that we have the spiritual gift of evangelism. You know, when I think of the spiritual gift of evangelism, I used to think that's the person that goes door to door and knocks on the door and gets yelled at and screamed at, or the person that's down on the corner handing out tracts saying, you got to go to heaven, you got to go to heaven, you need Jesus, you need Jesus. I don't feel comfortable doing that. I do not have the spiritual gift of evangelism either. But I still have to go do what I can, the way that I can do it. It's important for us to grab on to the good news that we are called by God to use our gifts. Yeah. Frankly, when I looked at the Bible and saw that the only evangelist that's listed in the New Testament is Stephen and they stoned him, it was not a very appealing gift to have. But there's more to it than that. We can use the talents and the abilities that we have. Did you know that there is a spiritual gift of pastor? It's a spiritual gift of pastor. And through my experience, I've discovered that some have the office, but not the gift. Maybe you've met them. Ironically, it's also true that there are people who have the gift of pastoring, but not the office of pastoring. I'll tell you what that person is like. That's the person who comes in on Sunday morning and tries to sit way back there in the back row so they can see they've got your heads, the back of your heads memorized. Okay? They've got it all memorized, each of you. And as they look around the room, they think to themselves, where's Sally? Why isn't Sally here? They never hear a word I say. They're looking and wondering, where's Sally at? And they can't wait until they can get home to call Sally to see if she's okay. That's the gift of pastoring. This loving of the people in such a way that you want to nurture them and care for them. And one other curious thing about these spiritual gifts, whatever your spiritual gift is, you think, what's the big deal? Anybody can do that. Anybody should be able to do that. There's nothing special about washing dishes if you have the gift of works. Anybody can do that. Yeah, but not with the enthusiasm that you do that with. Yeah, we tend to look at those gifts and think, if I can do it, why can't you do it? I've told you about my father-in-law, who was an amazing carpenter. He once said, I would never make any money as a carpenter because I'm too picky. Everything was perfect. And one time he said to me, oh, John, it's not a big deal. I said, yeah, it is. That's an incredible thing that you did. It's creative. It's thoughtful. It's amazing what you did. He said, you could do it too. I said, no, I can't. But here's what I think. Anybody and everybody can preach. He said, well, no, that's not what I'm... They can't understand why everyone else can't do what they can do because it's easy, according to them. What's easy for you to do? And then Paul starts going through the list, verses 8 through 10. So bear with me as we look at those verses. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the Spirit, to another faith by the Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the one Spirit. and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. And that's only a partial list. Paul lists in other books other spiritual gifts. This is a big deal. It's not only that it's here in Corinthians, but it's in a couple of other letters that he wrote. It's important, and we need to be sure that we understand them. Now, let me look with you at verse 13, because our time is gone, and I apologize. For the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and we were all made to drink or take in the one Spirit. We need to be asking ourselves, how are we using the gifts that God has given us? We need to understand that we are called to use what we've been given. We all understand that it's bad manners that if Aunt Pearl sends us a sweater, not to ever wear it. Maybe on ugly sweater day would be the day to wear it. Well, it's wrong for us to have been given these spiritual gifts and not use them and not apply them. How do we make the church all that God intended it to be? When I was in the Navy, and we're almost done, folks. When I was in the Navy and not having a lot of stuff to do one evening, I remember sitting on the fantail of the ship watching the ocean, and I remember thinking, this ship is like a human body. You know, there are the lookouts, kind of the eyes. There's the combat information center, which is kind of like the brain for the ship. There's the radio department, the ears. There's the engineers that make it go through the water and keep the electricity on and take care of all the details like that. There's even a corpsman on board this ship who makes sure that everybody stays healthy. And I thought, wow, it takes all kinds of people to make this ship go through the water. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about in this passage. He's saying for the church to be effective, to do what it needs to do, we've got to do our part. We've got to do our part. And we'll do it better if we know clearly what that part is. Every cell in the human body has a purpose. Every cell. It has a job. Now, well, that's not completely true. There is one cell in the human body that has no purpose. In fact, it just takes in. It just consumes. That cell is cancer. And it destroys the human body. That attitude in the church destroys the church. Think carefully about how you've been gifted, because you've been gifted for a purpose. Will you pray with me? Almighty God, you make the difference in our lives. You have taken us from dead people to alive in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father. Help us to serve you with joy, to love you and to love each other, and to be about the business of building one another up, that you might be all to all. In Jesus' name we pray.